we the people don't agree. For this suffering, there's no need.
Welcome to the Voices from the Front Lines on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming live on the web at www.kpfk.org. My name is Tammy Bang-Lu, and I'm here with my co-host Eric Mann. The show is part of the Pacifica's national coverage of the 2005 AFL-CIO convention being held in Chicago, July 25th to the 28th. With the convention underway, we'll continue our conversation on the future of organized labor, as four of the Change to Win coalition members have opted not to attend the AFL-CIO convention. SEIU and Teamsters announced that their official break from the Federation, so we'll start the show with Martin Ledlow, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the L.A. County Federation of Labor. On the ground in Chicago, Ledlow will give us an update on the convention and discuss the implications for organized labor in Los Angeles. Next, we'll have Bob Master, the New York New England Legislative and Political Director for the Communication Workers of America, District 1. He'll give us analysis of the present crisis of the labor movement and his critiques of the Change to Win Coalition. We'll close the hour with Anna Berger, the chair of the Change to Win Coalition, and their vision for the future of organized labor. Stay tuned, and we'll return with a short commentary from Eric Mann.
Hey everybody, this is Eric Mann, co-host of your show Voices from the Frontlines. The split inside the AFL-CIO is a combination of an amazing event and in some ways an event that almost none of us on the left can comprehend. Where do we start? Most people on the left, progressive, are pro-labor. They support unions. That's pretty easy. There's a lot of romanticism about unions, a lot of history of unions that were run by the Communist Party or run by leftists, democratic unions from the IWW, independent black trade unions. There have been some really amazing things done. For most people who are in labor unions today, there's a tremendous sense of dissatisfaction with their existing unions. They're perceived to be undemocratic, not perceived to be. They are often undemocratic. They are cutting deals with companies and pushing for labor management cooperation. They are often so tight with either the Democratic Party or, in the case of Mayor Riordan, the Republican Party. Members often feel that their grievances against the companies are not being prosecuted. I can go on and on. I worked for 10 years with the United Auto Workers as an assembly line worker, as a radical left-wing both auto worker and critic. But whatever any of our criticism of the unions are, we love the unions. It's a either love-hate or love-anger or love-criticism relationship, but we never, ever, ever would say we don't want a union. Anybody who's been in a non-union situation and has seen the arbitrariness of what an employer can do to you, has seen when you don't even have a union that you could struggle over, it's petrifying being in a non-union situation. I worked at IBM once, which was a non-union so-called benevolent corporation. And believe me, that benevolence came at quite a high price of almost like 1984 Big Daddy all over you. Okay, but we now have a split going on inside the AFL-CIO. That's a major thing. You know that the United Food and Commercial Workers, the SEIU Service Employees International Union, the Teamsters Union, what's called Unite Here, which is the former garment workers union called Unite, and the hotel restaurant workers, as well as the carpenters union, the laborers union, and apparently the United Farm Workers. For most of us in the trade union movement, at least a lot of those names are very progressive names, and they're names of unions that we've worked with, Justice for Janitors for one, Hotel and Restaurant Employees, Local 11 in L.A. On the other hand, I'll be speaking now for myself, I just don't get it. I don't get this split. The ostensible issues are one that Andy Stern and the Change to Win Coalition are saying they want larger unions to take on larger transnational corporations like Walmart. Okay, but United Auto Workers is a very, very big union and hasn't taken on General Motors for 50 years. So the size is not really the issue. United Food and Commercial Workers is a big union. They did not do a good job taking on the employers in the Food Employers Council. The second is more money for organizing. They're fighting over $25 million or $75 million. Well, obviously, by pulling out of the AFL-CIO, you're not going to get $75 million for organizing. So the first thing about those issues is it raises a big what? I mean, interesting criticism, interesting point, but splitting the AFL-CIO over those two issues. But it gets worse because here are my questions to the Change to Win coalition, which I'm very concerned about. Number one, why didn't you run against Sweeney? I mean, if John Wilhelm, who I've known and admired since 1968, ran against John Sweeney, ran on a different platform, ran against the war in Iraq, had a Democratic convention and then lost by 2/3 to 1/3, at least people would understand what the issue is. But the failure to run an alternate slate, I don't get. Number two, why not go to the convention? Up until last week, they were saying they were going to go to the AFL-CIO convention, place certain demands. Even if you're going to try to split, you normally put your issues out to the public, have all the press, interview everybody, figure some way of having a floor fight. But to avoid the floor fight, I think, is very tragic. The next is, where are the members? There's been criticism of Change to Win that their press conference in Washington had like 55 union representatives to it. This split, which is being discussed, it's not like there's a counter convention going on that we would have done in SDS or CORE. Maybe you could have had 15,000 members across the street. You go in, you run a platform, you lose the election, you go back to the members, you explain the conditions, and literally there's some mass reflection of this split. But simply for the leaders of the unions to announce that they're not going to go into the convention raises questions, frankly, of union democracy, raises questions of even the tactical plan and the moral legitimacy of the Change to Win group. I raise this because the first split was a mass phenomenon in 1935 that led to the building of the CIO and a different politics as well as a different organization. The challenge to Change to Win is profound, but this is a bad beginning when even your friends are so skeptical and concerned. So with these questions, which we're going to raise with Martin Ludlow, Martin, are you on the line with us?